Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
Yesterday, I wrote two homilies. I finished the first homily and I didn't like it. But I finished it with a good question. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Do we love God the same as He loves us? It is an important question that we have to ask ourselves on a daily basis. How much do I love God? Let's look at three examples through which we can judge ourselves whether we love God or not. The first is, if anyone serves me, let him follow me, says the Lord. St. Ignatius Brancin, you know, begins one of his writings on spiritual life with a chapter entitled Following Jesus Christ. Like all the holy teachers of the spiritual life, St. Ignatius emphasizes the first and necessary criterion for starting this effort, and it is to detach ourselves from the world. By the world is meant not only everything that comes to the soul from the world, but also what comes out of the heart, which is ruled by untamed passions. This condition does not apply to those who decide to follow Christ exceptionally, like clergy and monastics, but it applies to everyone who is baptized. In the first paragraph, St. Ignatius says, if anyone serves me, let him follow me, says the Lord. Every Christian, through the promise given at holy baptism, takes upon himself the responsibility of being a slave and servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every Christian absolutely must follow the Lord Jesus Christ. St. Ignatius is aware of the temptation of indifference into which a baptized person can fall through his own fall, but also through the fault of Christian community which he is in. Therefore, at the very beginning, St. Ignatius strongly outlines a clear program for the life of a believer. It may seem too radical for us, but it is only a reminder of the commitment that we have made at our baptism. When he says that we are to take upon ourselves the responsibility of being slaves and servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, he does not want us to put us on some kind of unworthy position. On the contrary, because of a person immersed in the Holy Scriptures, uses these words to achieve the state we are meant to achieve. The Word of God refers to those who are ruled by sin as slaves. St. Paul, in an epistle to Romans, says, do you not know that if you yield yourself to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? So before us is the decision of whom or what we will obey. And according to that decision, we serve either sin or righteousness. Another example would be to recognize the voice of Christ in His teaching. After calling Himself shepherd of the sheep, the Lord said that the sheep follow Him because they know His voice. The voice of Christ is His teaching. The voice of Christ is the gospel. Following Christ means following His commandments completely, not lukewarmly. St. Ignatius gives an answer to the question on how to follow Jesus Christ. It proves false various romantic notions that often flood a person's mind when thinking about this command. The strictness of his teaching is in contrast to the mentality of the present Christian world today, where the proclamation of Christ is used almost as advertising mimics to attract people, or life in Christ is often portrayed as captivating, joy-filled state full of miracles and blessings. We know it's not true. Following the commandments of Jesus Christ is a demanding and more or less repetitive daily work during which we are faced with our weakness and constant fails and falls. The beginning of journey of spiritual life is always connected with the struggle to cleanse the heart of all the sinfulness. A person who expects a sudden and permanent transformation of his life and also the lives of the people around him will be disappointed very quickly. It is common to meet people, even over the years, 2 years of my priestly life, people who return to church after many years with the hope that this return will automatically and immediately solve all of their problems. Many return when they see that their children and grandchildren are going down the wrong path in their life and hope that their return will bring some kind of correction into the lives of their offsprings. It is certainly an important and wonderful step, but when it is connected with this illusion of quick change, after a while, they will lose hope and leave the church again. But even within those 2 years, I can say that those who remain faithful get to see their fruits. It's really a miracle, and it's never too late to start. The teaching of St. Ignatius leads us to adopt the multitude of the servants who fulfills the orders of his Lord with love and devotion. Whoever gets on this journey with humility, without any special expectations, builds a solid foundation for their spiritual life. And then the third example is to know Christ's voice. In order to follow Jesus Christ, we must know his voice. Study the gospel and we will be able to follow Christ all our life. This teaching also reflects the teaching of all of the holy teachers of spiritual life. St. Ignatius emphasizes the necessity of constant study of the gospel. It is known that many saints knew the gospel by heart, and others read the entire Testament in 1 week, every week. The Optina fathers followed the rule of reading the three chapters a day from New Testament. One is always from the Gospel, and other two are usually from Acts of the Apostles or other books from the Epistles. When we read the works of St. Ignatius, or the works of other saints who wrote about the art of spiritual life, we will easily notice that their words are directly soaked with the Word of God. Either they quote directly or they give a paraphrase to the gospel, but they never make up their own stuff. If following Christ means keeping his commands, we must know them. Here we should avoid the illness of this modern age, which eliminates this knowledge only to an intellectual level, which is satisfied with acquisition of knowledge. Saint Ignatius understands the study of the gospel in much deeper meaning, and he's not satisfied just by acquiring knowledge. It is about an effort to unite ourselves with God so much that the Word of God becomes as part of our spiritual DNA, part of our daily language that we use with others around us. The result of this effort is transformed heart that loves God, that longs to fulfill the commandments. So here we have three examples of how we can love God. If any of these three things are missing within our life, within our spiritual life, then we have to determine what is stopping us from attaining these steps. If we truly love God, then we will not miss one single day without sitting at the Lord's feet, trying to learn and understand His commandments, line by line. The choice is ours. Glory to Jesus Christ.